Chapter 35, Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. Steering around a water truck parked along Laban Road, the driver maneuvered a 1987 Nissan Atlas refrigeration truck and detonated a bomb in the cargo bay. The driver was instantly incinerated as 2,000 pounds of TNT, boosted by bags of ammonium nitrate fertilizer, directed a blast that shattered windows for miles and caved in the reinforced concrete facade of its intended target, the Embassy of the United States of America. Steel reinforcement girders poked crazily like Mikado pickup sticks, and spar rusted and twisted into angles of nonconformance with the structural design, each beam now rendered useless and forged well beyond its temperament, brittle, bent, or pooling into a morass of iron slag, its former strength was abandoned. Black plumes of oily smoke rose in the billowing cloud, the vapors and fumes thrust into the breeze, carrying highly toxic chlorosulfonic acid and bringing even more death downwind. For here, death visited in earnest. Bodies were burnt to cinders, rough blocks of rubble crushing the already compromised flesh. Some bodies were lacerated by falling sheaths of glass, some consumed in fire by glass boiled into lava-like constituency. The cruelness of the magnitudes by which men and women had died was kaleidoscopic. Impalement on rebar stakes, air sucked out of lungs with the intense overpressurization impulse of a superheated blast wave, millions of fragments of stone and steel propelled by the gaseous expansion and fireball, each projectile piercing organs and bone. For each soul that felt this torrent and perished, no one would know the terror they felt. No one would know the great puzzlement. I was just going to the market when that last breath held dearly in one's breast now turned to poison, now turned to ash. Did they have that last moment to turn to their God and offer a prayer of thanks or beg for mercy? Did they feel fear as the walls fell apart, the world they knew turned upside down, their hopes and dreams smeared as they defecated and vomited bile from their orifices in shame? Death came also to Nairobi, Kenya, a similar blast wholly wrought by madmen. Perhaps the gate guard saved American lives to deflect the trajectory of the beige Toyota Dyna truck carrying its respective 2,000 pounds of TNT payload. Rather than enter the grounds of the embassy compound, this truck detonated on an access ramp off Haile Selassie Avenue. The brunt of the blast fully collapsed the Ufundi Cooperative Building behind the embassy proper. The 5-story Ufundi building was demolished. The next door 20-story Cooperative Bank's entire eastern face was smashed, all its windows shattered, each balcony burnt black by soot. Just as he had issued fatwas from his sanctuary in Afghanistan, the wretch bin Laden gloated about his victories in Dar es Salaam and Nairobi, while oozing confidence and malice from the shelter of an Islamic protectorate. In his 1996 and 1998 fatwas, he had ordered all Muslims to rise up against the infidel and go out and kill Americans wherever they stood. His proclamations were endorsed by the Death to America crowd in Iran. As the world shook, the Clinton administration offered promises of indictments. The warlock stood his ground in his belief that bin Laden should be assassinated. At CIA, he knew he still had a friend who probably was on his wavelength. He picked up his secure phone and dialed the deputy chief of the Latin American division. The line rang and was picked up. "Coffer Black." The warlock greeted. "Coffer, it's been a while since we spoke in Khartoum. I wanted to bounce an idea off you. Just between you and me, okay?" Coffer affirmed. "Roger, I'm pretty sure what you're going to say, but go ahead, I'm all ears." The warlock began with no preamble. "We've had eyes on bin Laden since he left Sudan. First, I want to thank you for your participation in that op. It made all the difference in the world. Second, I believe we need to go to the next level. Direct action. Your thoughts?" Coffer stipulated, Listen, I concur because time is of the essence. I know Tenet is trying to shake things up with the administration, trying to get their attention, but this Paula Jones thing is distracting POTUS from his duties. Tenet is trying to get the ball rolling, and I know I will be involved and Rich Blee will be involved, but you know, same old story. Washington needs to get their head out of their ass. The warlock queried, "What do you all have in mind?" Coffer spat, "Well, first thing is the AG Janet Reno is totally against a covert action finding. But when the dust settles, we still have to deal with access into Afghanistan. What your guys are doing is extraordinary, and Clinton won't go there. Body bags, you know? Agency is thinking drones. I've advocated for years to put Hellfires on the damn things. We've been flying GNATs with full mission video for a few years. I want to strap missiles on the airframe. DS&T is working on it." The warlock asked, "I get it. Where are you going to base the airframe?" Coffer explained, "Still requires a presidential finding for covert action. POTUS is just not there yet." Inwardly, the warlock fumed, but it really wouldn't propel the bureaucracy to move forward any faster. This administration was going to drag its feet, mired by focus groups, even after such a stupendously clear attack. The warlock didn't have to wait. He made his plans.